tonight, show me. Hold your Bible up. Say, I got my Bible. Hold it up. Let me see your King James Bible. All right, you Blacksiders, you need to get your Bible. Amen. Thank you for bringing your Bible tonight. Amen. All right, God in the Bible gave instructions in the Old Testament to his people Israel. When they fought wars with the Canaanites, he knew that they would need to build bulwarks because the city were walled cities, and that way they could climb the walls, they could bash through them and invade against the wicked Canaanites and take over their cities. But when God instructed them in the Bible to defeat the Canaanites and build the bulwarks, he said, you're going to cut down trees to do that. But he said, there's one kind of tree I do not want you to cut down. He said, this tree is very important. Does anybody know the tree, one of the men, that God said, you don't cut down, Brother Joe? The fruit trees. You don't cut down the apple trees. You don't cut down the grape trees. You don't cut down the peach trees. You don't cut down the fruit trees. Now, I had a lot of fruit trees on my property. I'm thinking I want to plant some more. But anyway, he said, you keep those fruit trees and you take care of them. And I want to read to you the text tonight. The name of my message, by the way, is don't cut down the fruit trees. Don't cut down the fruit trees. And I want to say three things about that tonight. But I want to read in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 19 and 20. Deuteronomy 20, 19 and 20. Don't cut down the fruit trees. It says, when thou shalt besiege a city a long time in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them, for thou mayest eat of them. And thou shalt not cut them down, for the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege. Only the trees which thou knowest that they be not trees for meat, thou shalt destroy and cut them down. Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray that you'd help us to understand what you have to say about the fruit trees. You know, I think, and I've shared this, Doug Fisher preached a message one time at a conference, and he was talking about the man that Jesus healed of his blindness. He was blind from birth, and Jesus said, what do you see? And he said, I see men as trees. I see men walking around as trees. Remember that? And then Jesus touched his eyes again and cranked it so that now he could see men as men. And we usually think, well, yeah, he is partially healed and Jesus didn't do a good enough job and he had to do it again. But I think Doug Fisher put it right. I think he had it right. I think Jesus had to crank it back. He saw the men as fruit trees walking around. And you know what? That's what we need to be, and that's what we need to see people as, that they can be fruit trees. I remember leading Brother Eddie Brent to the Lord up in Bangor Heights many, many years ago, and Brother Eddie Brent made a commitment that new year after I led him to the Lord to get rid of alcohol out of his life, and then he got married, and we married him, and so forth, and then he became a soul winner. I took him out soul winning, and he's still soul winning. We just heard that testimony, and we need to see men as trees, trees, fruit trees, and that's what I want to preach on tonight. Don't cut down the fruit trees, just the opposite. Cultivate the fruit trees, bless the fruit trees. And notice he said that when you're in a war, you're going to need those fruit trees to sustain you. They'll be meat for you. They'll give you strength. Well, aren't we in a war against the world? Aren't we in a war against the flesh and the devil? All the more reason why we need the fruit trees in our church here, and we're not to cut down these fruit trees so that we can win the war. I'm in a war of Scranton. We fought many battles, but we want to take the war of Scranton. We want to take this city, and I believe the key is the fruit trees. And so we want to talk about that tonight. And the Lord wants you not only not to cut down the fruit trees, he wants you to find them. He wants you to fertilize them. He wants you to nourish them. He wants you to water them. He wants you to protect them. He wants you to plant new fruit trees. And that's what I believe you guys and we should be doing this year. And so I want to talk about that. I want to say three things about don't cut down the fruit trees. Number one, by pointing out who are your fruit trees. By pointing out who are your fruit trees. And that's in Proverbs 11 and verse 30. It says there, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. How are you going to plant a fruit tree? Well, you have to win souls. Amen. You have to win souls to Jesus Christ and to faith in Jesus Christ. But the fruit tree is here seen as another soul winner. And so when you lead somebody to the Lord, what is the goal of your leading them to the Lord? Well, it's in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. You're to go, give the gospel, invite them to get saved. They get saved, then you baptize them. Of course, we know they join the church, and then you take them with you and teach them to be a fruit tree. That is, they will learn to give the gospel, and they will get people saved. I mentioned Eric Rodriguez. He's here tonight. He's my soul-winning partner, and he is witnessing. He's leading people to the Lord. Amber, that you led to the Lord, got baptized today and joined the church. Amber from up there in North Scranton. So I'm just saying, what's the goal? Well, we want to see Amber become a fruit tree. Amen? We want to see her leading people to the Lord. God wants you to be a spiritual father, but also a grandfather and a great-great-grandfather. Amen? People ask me, how many grandchildren I got? 16. How many great-grandchildren? Zero yet. but anyway, we want to be spiritual fathers and grandfathers and spiritual. It's Mother's Day. Be a spiritual mother and a grandmother and a great-grandmother and a great. Well, what does that mean? That means that people that you led to the Lord, Matthew 28, they should be going out and doing what you're doing. Winning souls. And that is the goal. How many of those people, how many fruit trees do you have? That's what we're talking about. Don't cut down the fruit trees. And we're pointing out tonight that a fruit tree is a believer in Jesus Christ, saved, baptized in the church, who is a soul winner, but who is training others to be soul winners that they led to the Lord. And do you have them in your life? Are they in the church? Who are those that you've led to the Lord, that they are now soul winners? They're out on Thursday night. They're out on Saturday. They're soul winning. I'm talking tonight about pointing out who are your fruit trees. Boy, I remember 1986. I just realized tonight, do you know it's 40 years in just a couple weeks, 40 years since I got revived to be a fruit tree and a trainer of fruit trees. And I remember it very well. I went to Hammond, Indiana, greater Chicagoland area, to the great First Baptist Church there, Dr. Jack Hiles pastoring. And the name of his conference was what we just read in Proverbs 11:30, he that winneth souls is wise. He had the great Carl Hatch there. And Carl Hatch, you know, when he went to Hawaii, he told his wife there, Eaton, he says, isn't that Magnum over there? And she goes, oh, yeah, Carl, that's Magnum. And he went over there and he said, Magnum, are you saved? He called him Magnum. Tom Selleck, you know. And Tom Selleck actually sent Carl Hatch a watch. What kind of watch? He said, Carl Hatch said, is that, what's that big fancy watch? Was it? A Rolex. He says, is that a Rolex you got there? And Tom Selleck actually sent him a Rolex watch, you know, after that. But Carl Hatch, he'd give the gospel to anybody, man. He was as righteous or as bold as lions, you know. And he gave his amazing life testimony at that conference. And my, oh my, all week long, I was moved by that conference to be a soul winner and to be a fruit tree. And God got a hold of me. And I remember what Brother Hiles did, he was a master at not only telling something, but showing it. And he had this baptistry with a big glass up there, and it was high up. And you're sitting out there, and all week long, in the morning, in the afternoon, you would have, you know, teaching sessions at the pastor school, and then in the evening, you'd have preaching sessions, and all day long, he would bring people in and pull the curtain back, and they would baptize new people that were being led to the Lord during the conference. See, he wasn't just preaching on soul winning. He had his people out winning souls to Christ. And they had the world's largest Sunday school. And I was so caught up with that. I said, wow, I want to be that kind of person. And I want to have a priority to see people. You know, Jesus saw people. He saw them as sheep without a shepherd. How about you see people as fruit trees? Right. They may be saved. They may be lost. They may be on their way to hell. I just walked down the street and I saw a singing group down there tonight just before the service. There's a couple, three singing groups, and they're having some kind of concert over in that building there on the corner, right the corner here. And I hand them a track. I was in a hurry, but I hand them a track. I said, I'm the pastor. He said, have a blessed day. He said, and it's a rock group or something, you know. But anyway, I gave him that gospel track. I'm just saying that we need to realize that God wants us to see fruit trees and the potential for a person to see a fruit tree. That means you don't just lead them to the Lord. You get their name, address, phone number. That means you follow them up. That means you get them out to church. If you need to go once or twice or three times, you go, do that and follow it up like we did with Amber. And you have to lead them to become a fruit tree. You have to lead them. You have to invest in them. Paul said, we didn't just give you the gospel. We gave you what? Our lives. Are you doing that? Following folks up and spending time. That's what I like about bus ministry. You spend some more time with people and you follow them up. And so I'm saying that God wants you to point out and see who the fruit trees are in your life. When I came back from pastor school 40 years ago, revived, soul winning was now a priority. I was excited about it, and we didn't even have a building then. We were meeting in a Baptist church in West Scranton called Bethel Baptist Church, and we were meeting in that church, and I remember I just started knocking on doors like we're doing right now, giving people the gospel. I preached a message called Don't Wait, Do It Today, which means when you see somebody and you have an opportunity, take advantage of that and give them the gospel. You know, Miss Carmen did that. There was a lady here, and I was preaching on Mother's Day, and she was offended because I was talking about cross-dressing and transgender stuff, and it's not of God, it's wrong, and God's against it, and she was offended. But Miss Carmen was back there giving her the gospel and trying to get her saved. Amen. You know, and that's what God showed me. A lot of times I was procrastinating. I would say, well, I'll see that person again. And it was just a lie. You're not going to see him again. You take advantage of the opportunity right now. It's like going out hunting and you see a buck and you say, well, maybe next year I'll get that. No, you take the shot. You pull the trigger. Amen. And I wasn't pulling the trigger. And God spoke to my heart at that conference, and I came forward that, and I came back, and we were at this church. We didn't even have our own building. And I started seeing all these people getting saved and baptized. I said, we need to have baptisms. And we pulled that baptistry. They had a big door over the baptistry, Brother Joe. We pulled it back, and guess what we saw? Cobwebs. It was a Baptist church. They hadn't filled that thing. We were renting the building in the afternoon, so we filled it. I think we tried to use it. And I had a big meeting. The deacons called me in. And the pastor, well, the pastor wasn't there, but the deacons, they called me in. They said, you can't be doing that. You can't be doing that. And I said, okay, well, we need to get a building. Amen. We started praying for a building, and we got this building just months later. And you know what God did? They kind of kicked us out of that Baptist church. But you know what God did? He gave us a building totally paid off. We got this building, and it was paid off. It was paid off, and God blessed us with all the stuff we needed. I mean, when I say paid off, we had payments on it, but the whole down payment was paid off through a deacon who bought the house next door, Brother Gene Hordesky. And God gave us this building, and now it is paid off. We've been paid off for a while, and it's getting fixed up, amen? And God's bringing people in. You know what? That church over there, that Baptist church at Westside, it's now just a parking lot. There's no building. There's no church. God took the candlestick. You know what? If you don't get back to your first love and you don't get back to the first works, God can remove your candlestick. And he can remove you as a believer because you're an unproductive branch in the vine, my friend. Listen, God wants us all to be fruit trees and to see fruit trees. And that means getting people saved. That means you get them baptized. That means you get them in the church, and then you take them out and teach them to be a fruit tree Christian. And what a blessing that is. And I remember knocking on the doors in that church, and one of the deacons that opposed me for having soul winning going on and all of that, they were very, I call them a hyper-Calvinist. They believed in all the doctrines of grace like I do, but they were not doing anything with it. And this particular deacon, he didn't like it. And I was just knocking on doors, and I wound up knocking on a door of a young lady. She came to the door, and I asked her the two spiritual questions, and she was Roman Catholic, and she got upset because I gave her the gospel. You know who she was? The girlfriend of the Baptist deacon that was opposing me. He was going with an unsaved Catholic girlfriend who got upset when I gave her the gospel. See, when you're out there doing what God wants you to do, you're going to stir up a hornet's nest. Right. How many of you have ever stirred up a hornet's nest? You know how that can be. And it's going to happen. That's what God does. And I find out when I'm moving with the gospel, God moves and he does things. But I'd rather be that way than stuck in the mud, stuck in the world. Hey, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. I'm down here to get people out of here. I'm on the Titanic that's already hit the iceberg. We're on a rescue mission. We're not here to stay here like the Corinthians and set up shop down here. What's your priority tonight? Get right with God. You're not really doing this. You're not fully right with God. And I'm just saying tonight that we need to point out what a fruit tree is and be one of those fruit trees. You know what? All last week, I could testify all the divine appointments God gave me. But I was moving with the gospel, and he just gave me all these divine appointments. I have a lot of them written down, and I've talked about some of them, and it's exciting what God is doing and what a blessing it is. And so God wants you to get those divine appointments, not just on Thursday, not just on Saturday, but during the week as well. And what a blessing that is. And so I'm just saying we need to be involved in soul winning, and it's my 40th anniversary since God gave me a revival to get back to my first love and get back to the first works again. And it's exciting. You know what? When people get saved that you led to the Lord and you bring them to church, man, you're looking for them, right? I was looking for Amber after I gave the invitation. I said, where's Amber? I can't see her. And we got her. And you're looking for people. And when the word of God is going out, you're listening more because people that just get saved, it's new to them. And it's exciting. When I go into a maternity ward in a hospital, I blessed a baby up there, led a lady to the Lord that was a mother, just had a baby up there at Moses Taylor Hospital, you know. And I got to lead her to Christ. And then I found out her mother was led to the Lord by two friends of mine who are preachers. It's exciting. It's exciting what God can do. And so we need to point out who these fruit trees are. An evangelist came to our church many years ago. We support him. His name is Larry Smith. And he called our church a soul-winning machine. And that's because people just came forward and got baptized because people were leading them to the Lord. See, we're not an evangelistic church. We're a soul winning church. You know the difference? An evangelistic church is where you bring people to church and the pastor preaches and gets people saved. And people do get saved when we preach and have big days, but that shouldn't be the key. You know what the key to it? A soul winning church. That means that you bring your sheaves with you. You've led people to the Lord. You've taken their information. You've followed them up. You make sure you get them to church that first time. It's all new to them. You sit with them. You bring them down the aisle to get baptized. That's a soul-winning church where we go forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, and we doubtless come back again with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. When's the last time that you did that? Year ago, 10 years ago. Listen, this should be fresh. Don't cut down the fruit trees by pointing out who and what are the fruit trees in your church. You know who the fruit trees are in this church? Sure we do. And I want to be one of them. I want to be one of them. And number two, not only, and by the way, if you are a fruit tree, you're going to be too hot to handle. If you are a soul-winning machine, you're going to be too hot to handle. And our church is going to be too hot to handle. What does that mean? That means that the world, it's going to shake the world up a bit. You know, we need to shake the world up. Amen? We don't need to blend in and just kind of make peace with the world. I'll tell you a way not to make peace with the world. You be a fruit tree. Oh, you won't make it because the devil won't like it. Hey, look at the Apostle Paul. Wherever he went, didn't the devil give him trouble? You say, why'd the devil give him trouble? Because he gave the devil trouble. You see, I believe that we would have more trouble from the devil if we gave the devil more trouble. You know, my youngest daughter, she was talking about her daughter, and she's out there in Missouri, and they have a Bible Belt out there that teachers in the school. It's a public school, but they're Christians, and it's just a Bible Belt. And she, her daughter's very popular. Kids love her. And she had a girl that went into the bathroom, and she dresses goth, and she's very influenced by the devil and that type of thing. And she was talking about that, and said something about worshiping Satan to my granddaughter. And my granddaughter said, can I pray for you right now? She said, well, I guess. I don't know if I believe in God. And she just started praying for her. And my granddaughter was instrumental in leading her to Christ. Now she's saved, and she's wearing a shirt about Jesus, and she's testifying for the Lord in that school. And people are like, what happened to that girl, you know? And my granddaughter's getting hit. Really hit, attacked now. There's some guy that liked her, and she didn't give him the time of day, and he's attacking her, and just stuff going on. And my daughter, Brooke, said, would you pray for Mabel? Mabel is named after the lady that led me to the Lord. Brooke named her Mabel. Pray for her. But I'm just saying that when you give the devil trouble, he will trouble you. I talked about dressing right this morning and talking right and so forth, but it's like old Bob Harrington used to say, you don't cuss, you don't chew, you don't run around with those who do, you don't smoke, can't smell you. I wish you'd do something so that we could know you're here. You know, you don't do anything, but what do you do? You see, you can be a fruit tree for God. You can determine, I'm going to be a fruit tree for God, and don't cut down the fruit trees. And it says in Acts 17:6, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Do people say that about you? You know, you shake things up. I'm up at the mall, and I witnessed to somebody, and somebody didn't like it and told the security guard. Security guard, just the other day, this was just the other day, and security guard, I've had security guards come after me. I call them mall cops anyway, but anyway, they come after me. And he came after me, and he's talking to me, and this guy, he likes me, though. I've talked to him. I've witnessed to him. He's like, yeah, this lady was telling on you and all this kind of stuff. I said, well, we're just fine with that, right? You had to talk to me. You just talk to me, right? We're done. He goes, yeah, I'm done. And but I'm just saying, see, the devil will give you trouble. He'll give you trouble. And but God will help you. He'll help you to overcome. You say, how do I overcome? I told my daughter, how's my granddaughter going? I said, let her do more good. Let her tell more people. Overcome by doing more good. And you get hit harder, and then you do more good. And that's what God wants for this church. And so tonight, don't cut down the fruit trees by pointing out who and what are your fruit trees. Number two, by providing for your fruit trees. Not only pointing out who and what they are, but providing for them. What does the Bible say? Proverbs 27:18 says, whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. What's a fig tree? It's another kind of fruit tree. How many have ever ate a fig? How many have ever had a date? I mean, eaten a date. Not had a date. Eaten a date. All right. Yeah. Well, you see, you can eat the fruit of these trees. And how are you going to eat the fruit of a fruit tree? You've got to provide for that fruit tree. In other words, you got to fertilize that fruit tree. You got to take care of that fruit tree. You got to feed that fruit tree, right? If you're going to have it be a blessed fruit tree. And I determined back in 1986, 40 years ago, this church is going to be a church that caters to fruit trees. I am not just going to have a religious lectureship church where I stand up and preach and teach the Word of God. Now, I like to teach the Word of God. Awilda was here in our Sunday school. She said, Pastor, when are we going to record these classes? She said to me, when? I said, you pray about it, Awilda. But she was blessed, the teaching of the Word of God. We got into 2 Corinthians. I did the whole class on the signs of the apostles. We went through that. And I talked about the fake apostles. And thank God we have a lot of teaching of the Word of God. By the way, soul-winning churches are not shallow. They have the Word of God. And they have mature Christians in them. But I'm just saying that I determined I was not going to be a religious lectureship church and just lecture people. No, I was going to be a soul-winning generalship church where I would train soul winners and we would reap the fruit from that. And so that's what God has done. A church that takes good care of soul winners will see people constantly coming to the Lord. Being baptized, joining the church, and going out and living for the Lord. And one way that you can provide for soul winners and their great work is by, number one, praying for soul winners. You know, you could be a prayer partner. And number two, be faithful with tithes and offerings. Be faithful with tithes and offerings, because it says in Malachi 3:10, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that's the temple, that there may be meat in my house. Do you know, during the times of backsliding, when the people didn't bring the tithes into the storehouse, into the temple, that the Levites, who were the teachers of the Word of God and the leaders, they had to go to the fields and work. Because they didn't have enough to take care of them. Boy, I remember that. I remember a time in this church when people didn't like the preaching and a lot of people left. And we had to get jobs. And I had like five jobs at once. And a lot of them didn't pay anything, but some did pay. And for 3 years, this church couldn't pay me. They kept the lights going, but they didn't pay me. And I was driving van and slapping myself and doing all that, did all these different jobs. But you see, what a difference it is when people give their tithes and offerings. I'm full-time in the ministry. I don't have any other jobs. I got one job. And that's to carry out the Great Commission and to feed and to take care of the fruit trees so that we can have a blessed church. And so you can do your part by giving tithes and offering. I wonder, are you faithful with the tithe? You give the 10% off the top. The Bible says in Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? He says, in tithes and offerings. You know, we talked about it in Sunday school. There are tithes, offerings, and alms. And we should be giving those things. We should be taking care of money so we have money to give, and managing money properly. And thank God for that opportunity that we have. You know, every one of us should give the tithe, 10% of all your increase you should give to the Lord. And above that, offerings are above the 10% that you give to Faith Promise, which takes care of our buses and takes care of our missions and all of that. I wonder, do you make promises to God and give to the Faith Promise missionary giving? That really makes a difference. That makes a tremendous difference. And I'm just saying that that's how, one of the ways that you provide for the fruit trees. And thank God we have a pastor, and we have a youth pastor, and we have a bus ministry. And it costs to run the buses, especially gas nowadays. It costs. We're up there. But hey, guess what? We're not afraid. If we give tithes and offerings, like we said this morning, we'll have a blessed church. We don't really primarily give tithes and offerings because we need the money, although we do. We do it so you can grow and not be a baby Christian, I said to my Sunday school class. Because if you're a baby Christian, you know how babies are. You take their toy and they hit you over the head. You know, give me that. They don't share. They have to learn to share. That's being an adult. You have extra. Well, what do you do with that extra? You give offerings to the Lord. And you give it. And God uses that to take care of the fruit trees. Because this church is not just doing nothing. We are a fruit tree church. And so we know what we need to keep on going. And so we need to be fertilizing our fruit trees. Thank God we have a soul winning on Thursday night. Thank God we have Saturday bus ministry and Saturday soul winning. Thank God that we have these soul winning ministries going on in the church that makes a difference, and that is all geared so that we can get more saved, more baptized, and plant fruit trees. He that winneth souls is wise, and the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And that brings me to the third and last point, and that is, don't cut down the fruit trees by, first of all, pointing out who and what is a fruit tree and going for it, by providing for the fruit trees, and last, by planting new fruit trees. As I just quoted, Proverbs 11:30, the fruit of the righteous is what? A tree of life. What is the righteous? The righteous is a saved person. And you, if you're righteous in Christ, the fruit of your life should be another fruit tree, another soul winner, another Great Commission Christian. Do you have any to show? That's what God wants for your life. Don't settle for less. Claim that. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. I want to claim that. I want to have that. And what a blessing that will be. And so you are to seek other fruit trees. Now, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And you know what that is? That makes your witnessing more effective because you are a Christ-like Christian. You have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. And that makes people more likely to see and listen to what you have to say, because some people, your life is speaking so loud, they can't hear what you have to say, and it's going against what you're saying because you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. So the fruit of the Spirit is not an end in itself. It's so that you can have the fruit of the righteous, which is other fruit trees. You can reproduce yourself. Are you reproducing yourself, you see? Babies don't reproduce, but mature adults do. They do, and that's what God wants for you. I'm talking about planting new fruit trees. And the Bible says in John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. But for what reason? And ordained you that, here's the reason, ye, that's all of us, should go and bring forth fruit. What's fruit? Another fruit tree. And that your fruit should what? Remain. That whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. If you move on out of this church, how many fruit trees are you going to leave behind? How many fruit trees are you going to have? You see, the Bible says, except you fall into the ground and die, you abide alone. You know what? It's like your sermon this morning. They haven't hung their ambitions, their desires, their dreams. They haven't taken a match to them and burned them up. Because except you fall into the ground and die, you're going to remain alone. See, some people, they'll just give the gospel a little bit, but they won't let God flow through them. God wants to flow through us and make it our main purpose to be fruit trees. That's why we're here, beloved. That's why we're here. I do other things, but that's not the main thing, why I'm here. No, he's chosen me for that reason, to be a fruit tree, and you too. That's why we're here. And God wants us to have those fruit trees that we leave behind. And he says it in the Word of God here. And so that is the fruit of the righteous, that you have other fruit trees that God. So you've got to fall into the ground and die. I like what Wendell Kempton, he said, a lot of Christians have fallen into the ground, but they're not really dying to their own desires, their own ambitions, see. No, they've got other priorities. The Bible says, he that has a wife, be as though he doesn't have a wife. He that has money, as though they don't have money. All of that stuff. In other words, use the world, but don't abuse it. Let it flow through, but don't let it cling to you. No, that's not what we're saved to do. And I believe that we need to be in that place where we can plant other fruit trees. So the fruit of a soul winner is that you keep on planting new soul winners who are planted in Christ, who are planted in the local New Testament church, who are planted in the soul winning ministries. They go out and they train others. That's why we have Thursday night. It's soul winning training. I can soul win every day. I should, as I have opportunity. But we train on Thursday. We take people with us and train them, and they learn to be soul winners. How about you? Do you have new trainees all the time, or you just keep going out with the same person, the same person, the same person, the same person, the same? You know what? You're stuck in a rut. You know what a rut is, don't you? It's a grave with both ends kicked out. Get out of the rut! You say, well, my person, drop out. Get somebody new! God wants us to keep on training new soul winners. I remember D. James Kennedy. He went to seminary, and I went down to Coral Ridge, his church, years ago down in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. And I met Kennedy, my wife. You met him, too, at a banquet. Remember, he's a gentleman. He's quite a guy, D. James Kennedy. And he started that evangelism explosion. He had a church, about 19 people, and it grew to 4,000, something like that, this church. It was a Presbyterian church, you know. But they were given the gospel. And say, what changed Kennedy? Well, he went to that church, and he even taught on how to give the gospel, but he just had a class, you know, and nobody learned anything, and nobody did it, and he himself had an evangelism class when he was in seminary, but nobody, he didn't learn it, he couldn't win his soul, and he had a friend of his from seminary that's a pastor that invited him to have some meetings and preach at those meetings, and then during the week, he would go out with him and knock on doors, and he would ask D. James Kennedy to lead people to the Lord. And Kennedy's like, He didn't know what to do. He had no idea. Now, he'd been to seminary. He had evangelism courses like they'll teach you in Bible college and so forth, but he couldn't lead somebody to the Lord. He'd never been trained. Now, his name was James Kennedy, D. James Kennedy, but the guy that had invited him, his name was Kennedy Smart. And D. James Kennedy said, I was Kennedy dumb, and that guy was Kennedy smart. And he would take over for D. James and lead that person to Christ all that week. And D. James Kennedy got an idea. He said, man, I need to take people out and have a soul winning night where he trained people. I actually, when I went down to Fort Lauderdale, I went out with him on his soul winning night. I went out on a Presbyterian soul winning night. I went out to Bob Gray's church and went out with him on his soul winning night, and so forth and so on. But it was something, and I wanted to get this thing. So he started teaching people by training them on the job, and he trained soul winners. That church grew, and God blessed and saved people. I like what Brother Jack Howell said. He said, if my church went to thousands of people, I would still do what we need to do in soul winning. He said, if my church went down to 10 people, I would still do it. He said, because it's not just a church growth method. It's the command of the commander-in-chief that we do this. And it's not just that. These pastors, they'll go all over and change it because they see some church growing and they'll do that. No, let's just stick with Jesus. Amen. Just stick with, don't cut down the fruit trees. Point out who and what a fruit tree is and be a fruit tree. Provide for your fruit trees and plant new fruit trees. I believe that's what God wants us to do. And he'll help you to do it. He'll help you to do it. What did he say? He said, if you're with him in his program, he says, lo, I am with you always. He'll help us. He's helped us in this church. And he continues to help us. Other churches have lost their candlestick in this area. The one I mentioned, we're still going because he's with us. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. We've been talking about don't cut down the fruit trees. It's God's will.